Hear the word of God recorded in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." This is our text. Dear fellow redeemed in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. In this text, we hear the Lord asking a question. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Why would God be debating with himself about whether or not he shall let Abraham in on what is about to happen? Well, what was God doing? Well, for one thing, he was preparing to destroy the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And why should it be important that Abraham be consulted or at least informed? The Lord answers his own question. It is because of the exalted position Abraham has been given, that from his seed shall come many nations, and that all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. God had called Abraham out of his homeland in Mesopotamia, the land between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, to a new place on the less significant Jordan River in Canaan. In Canaan, God points Abraham to the stars, and he says, "So shall your descendants be." But Abraham and Sarah had no children, so how could there be descendants? Sarah was old and never had any children, so Sarah gave her Egyptian maid Hagar to Abraham to bear him a child who was to be named Ishmael. But that is not the way in which God intended to carry out his promise. The father of nations following Abraham was to come from Sarah's womb. And it becomes clear that this line, beginning with Abraham and Sarah, is to bear the Messiah, the promised one that God had foretold already at the gates of the Garden of Eden. He is the one in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that through the blood poured out on the cross. So one day, three strangers, angels, visit Abraham. It turns out that one of them was the Lord. They have come to witness the wickedness of the cities of Canaan, including Sodom and Gomorrah. However, it seems that the more important reason for the visit was to announce to the 90-year-old Sarah that she is going to be the mother with the child fathered by 99-year-old Abraham, and that causes Sarah to laugh inwardly at such an unbelievable promise. And that child, of course, is Isaac. God is here preparing to fulfill his promised redemption in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Here we see pictured the one of the promise, the Messiah, the Christ. Sarah is no virgin, but her womb, like Mary's, has not carried a child. The announcement is made here by the angel of the Lord God himself. Just as the announcement to Mary and her conception is brought by the angel Gabriel. The child Isaac, at age 12, is at God's command laid by Abraham on the altar in preparation to sacrifice him. Abraham believes God and is prepared to carry out the sacrifice, upon which God provides a substitute, a ram caught in a thicket. And we might here also think of the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, beginning, in a certain sense, his work as Messiah as he speaks with the rabbis. All of this points our attention to nothing other than Christ. God says to Abraham, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And we can hardly forget that this all comes in the midst of wickedness, of impending judgment and doom. Not a cheery time. But surrounded as he is by evil, Abraham yet believes the promises of God. He trusted without wavering that God could and would do the impossible. And particularly, he believed that God would be faithful to the promises of the Messiah, the Savior for all of the nations. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul quotes the words of Genesis 15, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham was righteous before God. He was justified through that faith. St. Paul stresses that God justified Abraham not because of works of righteousness, which Abraham did, but because he trusted in God's righteousness, that is, the righteousness of Christ, the Messiah. And this is the righteousness which comes to us through faith. Faith that simply trusts the promise of God that his Son is made to bear the sin of all men, and that through his righteous life and death, God gives new life to his people. The heart of this promise is the incarnation. God becomes man, and the atonement, that God's Son is the sacrificial lamb who is the substitute for all of us in bearing the wrath of God. The promise is to be taught to all of the generations. The stranger here, who is the Lord himself, says, "I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord." Wherever this gospel of the righteousness of Christ is proclaimed, forgiveness of sins through Christ the Messiah, wherever it is spoken, there is always the understanding that this is to be taught, passed on, committed to one's children, as in the words of Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Teaching them, giving them the doctrine, the very way of righteousness which is found in Jesus Christ alone. God did bring to pass what he promised Abraham, that in his descendant all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This blessing is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah, your Savior, who St. Paul preaches became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. To him alone be the glory. Amen.